a crash course on the laws of tzitzis. Not the laws of tzitzis, but inyanim, topics, ideas relating to the mitzvah of tzitzis. Everything is taken from the sefer called Das Konisa. This is the third time we're using the sefer by Rav Yitzchak Zalman Gibbs. G-I-B-B-S. Gibbs. The first thing is, let's have a crash course review on the Inyan of Techeles. B. 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 G. I. B. B. S. B as in. Also Gibbs.
On
G. I. P. Maybe I'm wrong. Whatever it is. Let's go through some of. I don't know what he is. Okay, let's go through. First thing, let's talk. I want to run through a lot of different ideas. I want to touch on Rav. Let's run through very quickly. First, let's talk about Techeles. Does anyone here wear Techeles? Do we have any here Techeles people among us? No one here. How could there be no one here wears Techeles?
It's a very loaded question.
Okay. Okay. A lot of interesting ideas. First, when did Techeles? When did we lose the tradition of what is Techeles? It's not even so simple. There are different indications as when it was lost. Some say it was lost during the time of the Tanoim, the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. Is that the Bayis Sheni? Is when that's already almost 2,000 years ago was when Techeles ceased to exist. Some say it's not true. We have records that at the time of the Rambam already had Techeles. So that's only 800 years ago. 700 years ago. That's a very big difference between the time of the Gemara, the Tanoim, the time of the Rambam. Okay, and then some say it ceased to exist somewhere in between. There are historical records that the time of the Amoraim is when it ceased to exist, which is basically somewhere in between the time of the Rambam and the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni. What color is the Techeles? So if you go collect all of the Bamar Chazal, you'll go dizzy. Okay, Techeles in the Gemara is called the translation of is Kechol. Kemare Hatseva Yeshem Shumare Kechol. It says this in the Medrash. What is Kechol? So there are many Mepharshims. Rashi says some say it is Kechol is blue. Kechol can be yellow, can be green. Rashi says it's a dark, it's a black, it's close to black. Shochor hasamuch lelaila. It's black, which resembles the night. The Rambam says it's black like dioy, like ink. Now, the Techeles we have today, the Murex, is certainly not black like ink. It's not green. It's not yellow. So what exactly is Techeles? It really is a very big mystery. But Chazal also say Techeles demel yam, the yam demel rekia. So the rekia and the yam have a bluish
hue. That's only because, so the reason they say it's black is because it only in the daylight, because it's reflecting sunlight, okay. That's why it looks blue. But
so that's
night,
the issue.
The real color
the
is
issue
black.
Is,
yeah, but even with
the
sunlight,
issue is
black,
when,
the
issue
black.
Is, well, exactly, when you, with,
get the
all of these colors are not necessary conflict, because it could mean what color is the raw material, what color is the blood of the chila zayin. So a cuttlefish, its blood is black. Okay, it's a certain type of black, and then when you add some other ingredients, it turns blue. Okay, the murex is purple. The color is purple, the dye that it produces, but when you put the dye in sunlight, it turns blue. V'chulu v'chulu, maybe when it says that it's supposed to be black, it means the fish, the chilozoin is black. When it says it's doime liyam, it means the fish is doime liyam. It doesn't mean the color that it produces. There are many, many mysteries as to what exactly means. We have different traditions at the Chilos. It's Doim Eliyam. What is Doim Eliyam? The color is Doim Eliyam? Or the snail is Doim Eliyam? We have a tradition. The Gemara says that the Chilos only comes out of the water once in 70 years. Some say once in 7 years, once in 70 years. None of the fish that we are familiar with today as candidates for the Chilos comes out of the water once in 70 years. Not the cuttlefish, not the murex, and not Rav Herzog's, the Janthina. That was his candidate. And also, none of these candidates come out of the water once in 70 years, so we do not know what it means. Chazal also says that this fish can live both in water, amphibious, and on the mountain. It can crawl on the mountain, and also can live in the water. What exactly does that mean? So there are many, many more mysteries that surround the identity of the Chilazon than answers. None of the candidates for the Chilazon today answers all of the Mamari Chazal. There's also another very good issue can be passed out of an Adivri Agada. many of the sources for the source of the chilazon come from divrei agada, from midrashim. Can you pass an halach from divrei agada? Can you prove anything from archaeological evidence in Eretz Yisrael? These are all very big mysteries. That's why today we have no clear identity as being known for sure what exactly is the chilazon. We have three different candidates. One is from the Ritzina, Rebbe. He was a genius. He writes over here, part of what he writes over here is that he don't underestimate his brilliance. The Ritzina was known to be a genius of geniuses. And when it comes to a genius, you take what they say pretty seriously. And if he said he went out by himself to Italy, to aquariums, these exotic aquariums in Italy, spent there an entire year studying fish, and I'm talking, you ever meet a genius, like Magelsky said, Sarah Lavracha, when you ever come across a genius, you know, you're in awe. A genius is in the league by themselves. And if he came to the conclusion of being there in Italy for 1 year, studying the fish in the aquarium, that the chilazon is a cuttlefish, don't discount his opinion so quickly. And indeed, many gedolim did not discount his opinion. Problem is, a cuttlefish produces, has a black dye. When you add some external ingredients, some other chemicals, then it turns blue. Is that really what Chazal had in mind? Because if you know, you can add chemicals to any type of dye, any type of material, and change colors. So is that really what Chazal had in mind? Maybe, yeah, maybe that's what he had in mind. Okay, then came along Rav Herzog. Rav Herzog, he rejected the opinion of the Ritzina. He felt that the Ritzina had made a mistake, and he identified the Janthina. I'm not sure I'm correctly pronouncing that correctly. The Janthina, a different type of fish, and in the process he suggested it might be the Murex trunculus, but he rejected it because the Murex trunculus produced a purple dye. Okay, later, this institute in Eretz Yisrael that's not really headed, to the best of my knowledge, by Gedolei Hador, it's headed by people who just on their own are curious people, they have identified as being the Murex, which today is the most popular, it's sold far and wide in Eretz Yisrael in America, as being the closest thing that we have to identify as the Murex. I heard someone tell me.
It's a fish or a snail?
I don't even know. It's a fish or both. It's somehow it has characteristics of being both. Also, you have to understand something. Who says maybe all three are correct? Who says the chilazon has to be specifically one specific fish? Chilazon may be a general description of certain types of creatures which have certain characteristics. It might be a term Chazal invented as a catch-all term for a collection of multiple types of species and fish and snails which fulfill the conditions that the Torah demands to produce tchelet. So it's not muchroch that anyone is wrong. It could very well be that when the Mashiach will come, elu ve'elu diri elokim chayim, the murex is a valid fulfillment of what the Torah demands for tchelet. The cuttlefish is a valid fulfillment, and the janthina is a valid fulfillment. Maybe we'll find new meaning, new species, which will also be valid for tchelet. No one, you can't just go, it's not a good midah to be mevat. That's not a very good thing when you come along quickly. You find that, unfortunately, often you find people like to be mevat with someone else. The poskim say, none of us here is wearing tchelet, okay? So all of us are relying upon the majority of the Gedolei Hador, which say that if we don't know what it is with 100% certainty, you have no obligation to wear the tchelet. This famous from the idea from the Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi says the Mesorah has been lost, and in order to reestablish a Mesorah, we have to wait for Mashiach to come. Zehu, there's nothing more to discuss. Nothing that we have today was 100% absolutely certain. Even though you'll say, so misafik, it's a suffix, so let's be machmir, it doesn't hurt. You don't say that. The only time you say that it doesn't hurt is only if, this is a very important yisod he presents here in very clear words, the only time you apply the principle that it doesn't hurt, you should do something l'chumra, is if you know that when you go l'chumra, you have definitely have been fulfilled the mitzvah. I have a suffix, so it doesn't hurt. I might as well get credit. If you're definitely going to do, you get credit, then do it. In other words, I have two things, A and B. It's either one or the other. I don't know which one it is. So do both. Because if you're going to do both, you will definitely have fulfilled the mitzvah. But here, if I go and I put on my tachlis, all three at the same time, the murex, the cuttlefish, and the janthina, guess what? Maybe none of them are tachlis. Maybe, what? No, you're not allowed tachlis, So the argument is, it doesn't hurt. First of all, you have no obligation to do something that doesn't hurt if you don't know for sure that you're going to fulfill the mitzvah. And then he gives the mashal of the chazonish. Someone asks the chazonish, so what's so bad? It doesn't hurt. So the chazonish, different stories. One version of the story is the chazonish responded that in Kosovo, I guess the chazonish, he spent some time in Kosovo, that's what it says here. In Kosovo, there was a guy who used to walk around with glasses that had no lenses. He took out the lenses. He just had designer frames. I can see it today. Today,
not Kosovo. There was a city near Vilna called Kosovo. That's where the Chazanish.
Oh, okay. So that's what he's referring to. That city. And the guy walked around with beautiful designer glasses that have no lenses. No lenses. It was empty in the center. So they asked him, why are you wearing the frames? Now, today's not a kasha, because today it's a fashion style. You know, today people get new lenses, new frames every 6 months. I know. You know, it's like getting a new tie. You have to get a new pair of lenses, new pair, new frame. But, so the guy says, doesn't hurt. I'm not harming anyone. What's so terrible? I'm wearing nice frames. There's no lenses. I'm not bothering you. So to the average person, he's crazy, right? You're nuts. So the Chazanish used that as a mashal. If it's not one, if we don't know what the tchelus is, you're right, this snail, it seems to fit into the pattern of what the Chazal say, but are we 100% sure? No, because it doesn't answer every single question. It doesn't hurt. It's not an approach to yadus. Okay, now here I have something that is really, really total. This is really fascinating. This to me was worth
buying the
safer. Very good, buying the safer. Yes, a very simple question. How could it be the Torah demands from us that we should wear tchelos? So we have a principle, min hamutar beficha. It appears that according to all opinions, tchelos, the chilazon, is not a kosher fish. It's not a kosher snail. It is forbidden to eat tchelos. Okay, you cannot go to a restaurant and order tchelos. It's like lobster. It's osur. It's treif. How then could it be that the Torah demands that we take from its blood and use its blood to you to create a chefsa shel mitzvah? Don't we have the principle min hamutar beficha? When it comes to the hides of the tefillin, to make the batim, to make the parashios, there's a principle min hamutar beficha. You have to use the hides of kosher animals. When it comes to the Beis Hamikdash, Chazal tell us explicitly that there was no silk. There was no silk to be used in the construction of the Mishkan and in the Mikdash because it has to be min hamutar beficha, and the silkworm is not kosher. It's not kosher for consumption. And we have this principle all over Chazal. Min hamutar v'ficha. The notable exception is the tchelas. Haloi davar. Isn't a very good question. How can the Kohen Gadol wear clothing with the tchelas? How can we wear tchelas? It's not min hamutar v'ficha. So to answer this question, he says, let me ask you a better question. What about the kisei hakavod? The kisei hakavod, we learned in Yechezkel not that long ago, has on, etched into its four sides, on one side, a nesher, and on the other side, an aryeh, a lion. A lion is not a kosher animal, a chaya, and a nesher is the worst. A nesher is missing all four simonim. Okay, it's the worst of the worst. Some of the birds have some simonim, some other simonim, but the nesher, Chazal, has nothing. It is the most non-kosher of all of the animals. And yet, these two creatures are supporting Hashem's throne? How are you talking? Can there be such a thing? So he says one question answers the other question. The fact that the Nesh and the Aryeh, you know why they're being used to support Hashem's throne is because when you're in the presence of the Kisei HaKavod, there's no such thing as the principle Min HaMutar Beficha. Min HaMutar Beficha is a principle that applies to human beings down here on earth. When you're a lowly creature down here on earth and you're very, very far away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to follow a certain set of rules and regulations of distancing yourselves from things which are less holy than others, whatever that means. And therefore, kosher meat, v'chulu, min amut b'ficha. But by HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Every single thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu is holy, has a purpose, is sacred. There's no real difference, kosher, not kosher, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's hard to, it's a very interesting concept. I was sitting on Shabbos, I went to this one on Shabbos, and they had there a very interesting person, very fascinating person. Someone mentioned talking about the tznius, and this girl was wearing a green hat. So someone said, it's not tznua. So this fellow, he said, is there a color in that Hashem created that's not tznua? The way he said it.
It depends for whom.
No, so it's very interesting. The guy was like, he was so annoyed. This is a different type of fellow, you know, not your typical type of fellow. He said, if Hashem created the color, of course it's tznua. Hashem wouldn't create it. Obviously, that's not an answer for a woman can't go walk around in a hot pink.
Or even a man can't go in the shoe with a pink hat.
Exactly, because but if Hashem created it, if it's Hashem's creation, this rule does not apply. But that's only when you are in the presence of the Kisei HaKavod. A lion is not fit for consumption for us. A nesher is not fit for consumption for us. But in the presence of the Kisei HaKavod, it's fine. By Hashem, it's Hashem's creation. Hashem does not differentiate between kosher and non-kosher with regard to his throne. Now here's the catch. Again, that idea obviously requires a lot more understanding. I'm just spitting out words. It's a very deep idea. And you hear just the basic idea and you have to develop and understand what it means in more depth. But now here comes the next part, which is just simple to connect. What is Tcheles? There's something very unique about Tcheles. Tcheles doime liyam. The yam doime lirakia. The rakia doime likisei hakovoit. Tcheles is unique among every other thing in the Mishkan, every other mitzvah, is that it is a direct link to the Kisei HaKavod. Once you go to the Kisei HaKavod, the principle min hamutur beficha does not apply. The Mishkan, believe it or not, is not lifnei Kisei HaKavod. The Mishkan is a dira in the tachtonim. We make a dira for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He comes down from the Kisei HaKavod to rest the Shechina in the tachtonim. In the tachtonim, in this lowly world, it has to be min hamutar b'ficha. But the techeles takes you to Shemayim. The techeles liyam, yam l'rekirikir, the Kisei HaKavod, the mele by the Kisei HaKavod, there's no such thing as uch. There's no such thing as min hamutar b'ficha. Now this idea answers, is the best and is the most simplest answer to the age-old question as why do we mention the Kisei HaKavod in the Birchas Asher Yotza. Isn't it bizarre beyond understanding why when you come out of the Beis HaKisei and you make a bracha Asher Yotza Yisrael B'chachem U'Rovo Nikav Yidhi B'chachem U'Rovo Galuy V'yodua U'Lefnei Kisei Chavodech. What? From all brachas, this is the time you're going to mention the Kisei HaKavod. Now, when you dive in Shemona Esrei, so maybe when you come to Shema Kalei, you'll say, "Ribono Shel Olam, Goli V'Yidul Lefnei Chiseichem Radecha." Only you can answer my prayers. No, Chazal did not inject the Kisei HaKavod to Shema Kalei. Chazal didn't inject the Kisei HaKavod to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. There's no Kisei HaKavod. When you come out of the Beis HaKisei, and after you've removed from your body the most disgusting thing that exists in this world, human waste. Oh, now lifnei chisei chavodech. My high. This answers the question.
Say that
in your kippah. What? Pismoy, okay, the pismoy. But this answers the question because when you lifnei the chisei hachavod, then there's an aryeh, there's a nesher, and there's the chilozoin. The most trefa fish that there is. Who knows? The chilozoin. When you come to this, like he say, a person can make a mistake and think, this is not God's domain. The Beis HaKisei is it's it. Hashem is not. Hashem doesn't associate with waste, with lowliness, with represents the human beings as nothing. It's disgusting. No, you have to understand something. When you lifnei the Kisei HaKavod, the Nesher is there, the Aryeh is there. The Chila zone is there. There's everything that Hashem created is choshev when you lefnei lechis yachav. And Echnam, in this world, soya is something you have to stay away from. You're not allowed to learn. You're not allowed to learn on a daf. But don't make a mistake and think it's not God's domain. Because God, lefnei lechis yachav, even the lowliest of the low, Adrabba, you've been daska have to mention the Kisei HaKavod when you come out of the Beis HaKisei, because if there's anything in this world which will make a person make a mistake to think that Kadosh Baruch Hu was not associated with it, that's when you'll make that mistake. Therefore, you mention the Kisei HaKavod, oh, Hashem is also here. Hashem's presence is also in the Beis HaKisei. He's also in the Beis HaKisei. And that's Techeles. Techeles is not kosher, and even though it's not kosher, yet we use it. The Kohen Gadol wears Techeles. He wears his whole garment. The whole garment, the Ne'il, is all made 100% Techeles. Okay, let's go to another quick idea. We all know that on the Tal, by the way, everyone knows that the Tal is the black lines. The black lines of Talis is a Zecher for Techeles. Why is it black? I guess since we don't know what the color is exactly, so we use Techeles.
The Sfarim have like white lines or something.
Right. I don't know why. It's not so clear. That's a new thing. It's a modern. I don't know. The Sardin. I don't know. The blue line is certainly a modern thing.
The Turkish Talis.
Yeah.
Have a very dark blue.
Dark blue. The Zeicher of Techeles. That may be the color of Techeles. Okay. Interesting thing over here. When you put on a Talis, do you make the bracha lisatev batzitzis or lisatev bitzitzis? So he cites the machzis hashekel that says all depends if you have tcheles. If you have tcheles, then you should say lisatev ba. The patach is in place of the hair idea. The ba, the hair idea. Batzitzis. Mimela, that because it's this dover that's a mukh that's select, it's chosen. But if you don't have tcheles, then you just say lisatev bitzitzis. So the difference, if you say ba or bit, would be a difference if you have tcheles. Would that apply to modern day tcheles of murex? I don't know, because it's only I don't know how far you go with that. Yeah, if you're trying to mekayim the tcheles with murex, that's an interesting idea. Another thing is why are we not makbid on tcheles today? So he says something very interesting. He says something that says as follows. He says that it used to be that there's a machlokes in the Gemara, in machlokes in Masechta Menachos, if the lavan, the tcheles is ma'akev the lavan. In other words, are you allowed to even wear tzitzis if you don't have tcheles? So one opinion in the Gemara says yes. If you don't have tcheles, you're wasting your time. You're not allowed to even wear the lavan. You're not yoytze tzitzis at all. And the white that you have, the white chutin, is not fulfilling the mitzvah. It's as if you're wearing a garment that has four corners without tzitzis, and on Shabbos you would be carrying in the streets. The tcheles is ma'akev the lava. That is one opinion in the Gemara. Rebbe disagrees, I think it's Rebbe. He says, no, the tcheles is not ma'akev. You don't have tcheles, so you can carry the mitzvah with just the regular tzitzis alone. And by the way, that's one of the reasons why the Bereskers do not wear tzitzis on Shabbos. Because they follow the opinion that says it may very well be, they don't follow 100%, that the opinion that the tcheles is ma'akev the lavan. If you don't have tcheles, you're not even yotzei the mitzvah we're wearing the white chutin, and therefore, if you have the white chutin attached to your garment, you're doing two averes. Number one, you're wearing a garment that doesn't have four corners. Number two, you're carrying in the Seder Shabbos. So therefore, to avoid all these issues, they will not wear a talus in the street. They will not wear a talus katan on Shabbos. Halacha l'maaseh, the average person does not follow. We don't follow that. We hold, even they don't follow that, is that the tcheles is not akiv. So he says it'll be a very fascinating concept in halacha. He's not saying it's only thing over here from the poskim. He's saying, I think he says Yeshua Malkus says this. He says that until the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, or until the time of the Rambam, or until the time of the Amorayim, Klal Yisrael as a whole were makbid to follow the opinion in halacha. It was accepted in the world of halacha that tcheles is ma'akev of the lover. If you don't have tcheles, then don't bother putting on white chutin, because you're just wasting your time. The white chutin need the tcheles. They're totally zeh b'zeh, like the opinion in the Gemara. As long as they followed this opinion in halacha, they were moiser nefesh. They went out of their way to make sure they have tcheles, because they don't have tcheles, you're not mekayim the mitzvah. At the tkufa, when tcheles was lost, it coincides with a time in Jewish history when there was a shift in the world of halacha. It's a very bizarre concept because we don't do this today. We don't change halacha today. We don't go and shift halacha today. We don't go say, oh, until now, we paskin this way. And now, we're going to paskin mikan laba like the Ramah. Until now, we paskin like the Ramah. Everyone should know mikan laba. Starting Rosh Hashanah, no more Ramah. All the Ashkenazim are going to follow the Mechaber. It's unheard of today. But there are situations back in ancient Jewish history, Jewish history, where there was a shift. The Hamoinam, the masses, they accepted one opinion, and then there was a shift, and it became the custom, we're going to accept a different opinion. The Yeshua's Malka, he says, that's exactly what happened, why Tcheles was lost. It was originally accepted, the opinion in the Gemara, that Tcheles is Ma'akev of the Lavan. If you don't have Tcheles, don't bother wearing lavan. Now, when Klal Yisrael decided to accept the opinion that, we don't do some machmir. You have Tcheles, good. You have Tcheles, okay. You can wear this lavan. Once they already began to accept the opinion that Tcheles is not machmir, you don't need the Tcheles, then it caused a hashkafically, people were no longer nizar in Tcheles. They were not meiser nefesh for Tcheles, and Tcheles ultimately became lost from us. Okay, another quick halacha, quick things. We have a principle of distinguishing halacha about taking off. What happens on Shabbos? On Shabbos, you discover that your tzitzis are puzzle. Your tzitzis are puzzle. And you're in shul, you're in a talis gadol, and someone shows you, look, your tzitzis are puzzle. They're not kosher. Are you mechuyev to take off your talis in front of everyone on Shabbos? There's no other talis in shul. And by taking off your talis, you're going to be embarrassed. How come this guy over here is sitting in shul without a talis? Covered abrios. So are you mechuyev to take off your talis if the tzitzis become posel on, if you discover that the tzitzis are posel? So in Igra Din, the answer is no. You don't have to take off your talis. Godol kavod habrios. Now the Mordechai, there's the machlekes between. And the Mordechai presents, the Mordechai was a Rishon, he presents the Rabbeinu Shlomo and the Rabbi Yehuda, two different Amorayim, two different Amorayim Rishonim. And basically he presents the Shita of the Rishon, and it says something very fascinating. He says that it's no different than walking into a bias that has no mezuzah. Here's the question, if you have a house, and your house does not have a mezuzah, are you going to walk into the house? The Torah says, "Uchsaftam mezuzos al beisach, uchsaftam uchsaftam al mezuzos beisach v'yishalecha." So, if your bias does not have a mezuzah, how can you walk into the house? Now, you'd be over on mitzvahs asay by coming into your house by it not having a mezuzah. So that's ridiculous. Why is that ridiculous? Because it's not on you when you walk into the house. It's your house needs a mezuzah even if you're in Hawaii. If I'm on vacation somewhere in Hawaii and I have a house and that's my primary residence, my house needs a mezuzah. I'm not doing any additional aveira by walking into a house, my house, that doesn't have a mezuzah. My house needed a mezuzah when I'm not in my house. And now when I walk into the house, it also needs a mezuzah. So it's just I'm delaying mekayim the mitzvah. So he says that's the same thing when it comes to tzitzis. The Torah says, you have a garment, it's a mitzvah kiyumis. You have a garment, put tzitzis on the garment that you will wear. If today is Shabbos, on Shabbos, are you allowed to tie the tzitzis on your garment? No. The Torah does not allow you to do a maisa kishira. So it's like, if you have a home on Shabbos and there's no mezuzah on your home, can you live in your home on Shabbos? Of course. Can I write a mezuzah on Shabbos? Of course not. Even if I have a mezuzah, am I allowed to affix a mezuzah to the doorpost on Shabbos? Of course not. It's boine. I'm not putting mezuzah on mice. So the same way you're allowed to walk into your home on Shabbos, there's no violation. It's exactly the same thing with a talis gadol. You have a garment that has four corners. There's no way on Shabbos I am allowed to put the tzitz on Shabbos. So am I allowed to wear the garment? Yeah, I'm allowed to wear the garment.
You can carry it home.
You can wear it home also. No, but if there are tzitzit that are possible, no, then you can wear a garment that has four corners that has no tzitzit on it at all. But if you have a garment that has tzitzit that are possible, that's carrying. The tzitzit are not toffle to the garment, then it's a shayla of carrying on Shabbos. Carrying on Shabbos.
So then what are you accomplishing?
If you're in shul. So let's say you're in shul.
You take it off, even put it on.
Let's say you're in shul. They tell somebody, say, no, you go over to you're a guest, and you tell the Baal Simcha, you know, I'm a guest, I'm going to bring my talis. Maybe you have an extra talis. So the guy says, well, we only have one talis in this puzzle. So it's a machloikis. Halach, do we pass like the Mordechai? But b'di'evid, you're allowed to put it on. B'di'evid, you're allowed to put on the talis, even though you know it's puzzle, if you're embarrassed. God will cover our bias, and not violating an Isser D'Oraisa.
So when you come to a shul, you shouldn't even check the tzitzis.
Because you should, you don't...
You want to wear the
well,
talus.
If you have another talus,
the Rabbeinu Shlomo disagrees.
There's a Rabbeinu Shlomo who disagrees. He holds that that you're mamish being oiker by putting on the talus. It doesn't have tzitzis, being mamish being oiker in Isser Mitzvah Seh. The Torah says, put the tzitz on, he disagrees, not everyone agrees with this idea. The Mordechai quotes both opinions. But b'di'avad, we rely upon it, in a situation where you're embarrassed, certainly not to take off, when you already took off the talus, you're already wearing it, and now it's brought to your attention that the tzitz are possible, and you're going to be embarrassed by taking it off, even to put it on the chatchila, b'shas hatchak, when you're going to be embarrassed, you can also put it on.
Carrying,
the tzitzit are pasul, then it's going to be called carrying. What about if you're ready, if you walk in a place where there's no Erev, but it's not a Rosh Hashanah D'Oraisa, okay, that's a Shaila in Brooklyn, what status Brooklyn has, but let's say you're in a place where there is no Erev, and it's not a Rosh Hashanah D'Oraisa, and as you walk home with your friend, he points out to you that your tzitzit are pasul, so you will chuyiv to take off the talus. No. God will cover our brios, because only this is the Rabbanan. Carrying is a mitzvah of the Rabbanan. God will cover our brios. It's doichel loisas sefer shemara. It's doichel loisas sei shem tera. You think it doesn't happen today? I'll give you an example today. I have a friend. He went there until he came back with a beautiful, beautiful talus. Exotic talus, not exotic. Very nice. You know, black stripes. Very nice wool. And the fringes were really spectacular. Okay, the fringes along the area of the talus, they have these nice little fringes that were really woven in this very intricate way. And it was really a pleasure to look at. I noticed, if you take your talus, you will notice, here's the corner, the fringes stop at the last...
Before the corner.
It's the fair, because there's a shnachleikis, the tzitzis have to be three thumbs, exactly three thumbs from the edge of the corner. If it's too much or too little, then there's a shayla that it's possible. It has to be exactly three thumbs. Then the Mishnah says, but make sure the Shulchan Aruch, you have fringes, make sure you cut the fringes off. Because there's a shayla if the fringes is part of the garment. It's not part of the garment. If it's part of the garment, then you have to make the calculation from the end of the fringes. If it's not part of the garment, then you make the calculation of the three thumbs from the garment itself, not from the fringes. So it's not clear what status those fringes have. So therefore, you'll notice every talus today, you will notice that the fringes come to an end before you get to the corner. On this exotic talus, I noticed it went all the way down to the bottom. And it's like a really nice, the thick, it was really, really nice. So I said, it's a fair Shulchan Aruch. There's a whole Shaila. You're not allowed to wear this. So, it's a real shayla. It's a real shayla. What to do with this talus? So in the meantime, he took it off. He took it off. He had another talus, luckily. But you know, things like this do indeed happen when it comes to a talus. All right, there's a lot more stuff up here. We're out of time about a talus. A lot of interesting things about talus. Scott, one other quick thing up here is he writes something very interesting. Is there is he besides placement that said there is an inyan that you should kashar talmud and the holy sal. If you can make the tzitzis yourself, that's a very big inyan. If a person knows how to make the tzitzis, there's a very big hiddur in the kiyum hamitzvah for you to tie your tzitzis onto your own garment. So those who know how to do it are able to mekayim this, get an extra bonus in the kiyum of the mitzvah tzitzis. Okay, we'll stop here.